The first advertising dates back to when a tradesman would hang a picture of a shoe or a pig in front of his workshop to let his illiterate neighbors know, "I make shoes," or, "how about some pork?" And if your trade was located at the intersection of two roads where more people were likely to pass by, you would attract more customers. Modern advertising was born when a clever medieval merchant figured out that even if he didn't have a shop on the busy corner, he could put a sign on the corner with a little arrow telling people where to go down a side street to buy his stuff. And from a little arrow painted on a wall to the golden arches on a freeway off-ramp, very little has changed. If you controlled a situation where lots of people might pass by your wall, you could sell pieces of that wall to other merchants trying to sell stuff to all those people. And as the wall became a bigger wall, or a newspaper page, or a radio audience, or a television audience, or a population of internet addicts, the mechanics of buying and selling those chunks of unreal estate stayed pretty much the same. In the year 2006, after millennia of doing things the old-fashioned way, the advertising industry finally hit puberty. And as anyone with a teenager knows, the next few years are going to be pretty turbulent. This spring, Walmart joined forces with a handful of other big-time advertisers to test the deployment of an online exchange-based marketplace for buying and selling broadcast advertising. This is a big deal. Right now, the cost of advertising is determined by one-to-one negotiations. The big advertisers and the big media companies haggle out a price the way you and I might haggle over the price of a used car or my house. Sure, there are rate cards and comps and all sorts of third-party data to determine what all these impressions are worth. But these are mostly educated guesses, so there will always be an expert ready to argue what these impressions are not worth. So in the end, it still comes down to a face-off between the buyers and the sellers. It's called bilateral negotiation. Bilateral, two sides. Each comes to the table with its own sense of what the thing is worth, and before any deal can close, they must agree on a price they can both live with. This process of price discovery is at the heart of every negotiation. It's a zero-sum game between two players. My win is your loss. Your win comes out of my pocket. The actual value of the thing being traded is often secondary to the negotiating skills of one or both parties. It's been going on like this since the dawn of time. It's terribly inefficient, and it's certainly the worst way to buy and sell advertising. And yet, this is the way we still do it. So this new advertising model, this exchange model, will allow advertisers and broadcasters to buy and sell audience segments on an open trading floor, like a NASDAQ or a New York Stock Exchange, a place where price discovery is driven by market forces, not sales forces. An open exchange will allow small advertisers to participate in the big game right along with the heavy tonnage players like Pepsi, Toyota, and even Walmart. And this works to everyone's advantage. Here's an example. Imagine NBC schedules a Garth Brooks Christmas special. Okay, Home Depot and Dodge Trucks will probably want to be sponsors. But so will a guy in Bakersfield who sells black cowboy hats. Home Depot will spend $500,000 for a handful of spots at a cost per thousand of, let's say, $25. This means Home Depot's ads could reach about 20 million viewers at a cost of 2.5 cents each, assuming Garth Brooks draws 20 million viewers. The cowboy hat guy would spend only $20,000 on this show. That's all he's got. But he would do it at a CPM of $50, twice the going rate. He'll risk his entire holiday ad budget on the belief that if 400,000 people see his ads at 5 cents each, he'll sell more than enough black hats to offset his cost. And so would a dozen other smaller advertisers who could easily outbid Home Depot in the aggregate, assuming the network could break up this audience into smaller chunks. And there's the rub. Broadcasting, as it's currently configured, can't parcel out its audience in segments. Not yet. So right now, the advertisers have no chance of reaching this audience, and NBC has no way of collecting this higher rate of return for its inventory. But all that's about to change. Sure, there are technological wrinkles to be ironed out, not the least of which is that breaking up the audience part. But when billions of dollars are at stake, technological wrinkles tend to get ironed out pretty quickly, especially when both sides agree that change is to their advantage, and the full potential of digital television is yet to be realized. Let's just say that 5 years from now, the advertising business will be divided into two camps, the ones who figured this out early and the unemployed. Next time, we'll talk more about how this all fits together, and we'll take a closer look at a four-letter word that always brings the media industry to its knees: risk. Until then, this is Don DiPietro for Ken Radio.